Hello and welcome. You're listening to Speaking of Urology, the official podcast for Urology Times. As always, our commitment is to deliver urologists and allied health professionals timely and informative insights from leaders in the specialty. Our exclusive interviews bring expert analysis, practice advice, and policy perspectives to help our listeners practice more efficiently. I'm your host and assistant editor, Janelle Hart. Today I'm speaking with Dr. F.A. Chantal Ghani-Simons. She discusses the struggles that come with being a woman in urology, but also highlights the need for more female urologists to diversify and expand the field. Ghani-Simons is a PGY5 urology resident physician at the University of California, Los Angeles. So first, congratulations on being awarded Resident of the Year by the Society of Women in Urology. So what does this award mean to you?
So it means a lot because of how I won it. Last year, I was in my fourth year of urology residency at UCLA, and fortunately had quite a bit of time because I was in my research year. And during that time, I really had been intentional about seeking out to mentor women, particularly women of color who were interested in urology and who were applying into urology. Well, those women somehow found each other and got together, and they had written a nomination and had written some of their lived experiences in navigating urology and how that mentorship that I'd been able to offer had helped them during the application season. And they had put that together and brought it forward to me as something to submit. So it was very meaningful from a personal standpoint because those women have become dear friends, but also was a reminder of how challenging the process of applying to urology can be for individuals typically have not had access to the table, if you will.
What prompted you personally to pursue urology as a specialty?
So it was not the first pick. I had thought of myself as being a future geriatrician. I thought I was going to go into palliative care. You know, that's kind of how I'd fallen in love with medicine to begin with. However, you know, come third year, you do your surgical rotation, and I absolutely fell in love with the operating room. And I knew that that was a space I wanted to be. And actually that day, the day that I had discovered that, I remember going back home, calling my mother, who was in Ghana, and just crying and saying that, you know, my life is over. I'm going to be a surgeon. I'm never going to be a good mother like you are to me. And then I took a step back from the theatrics and realized that there was a way for me to be able to take care of the patient population that was so near and dear to my heart and still be able to be a surgeon. And so with that in mind, I actually rotated through every single surgical subspecialty my medical school had to offer. And urology was it, in part because a lot of our patients are old. Not all of them, but a good proportion of them. So it allowed me to care for the patients I was so drawn to and still, you know, become an excellent surgeon.
Women are becoming increasingly prevalent in urology, but they're still outnumbered by men. So what challenges do you face as a woman working in a specialty that's mostly male when it comes to both working with colleagues and seeing patients?
You know, I had thought that there would be more pushback from patients. You know, you go into to see a patient, particularly when it comes to andrology, you know, when you're talking about fertility, erectile dysfunction, or even when you're talking about voiding, I had the misconception as a medical student that patients would be uncomfortable with me. I've been very surprised at how infrequent that occurrence is. So it happened once when I was a med student, and I want to say maybe twice as a resident, and I'm currently a fifth year resident. So there hasn't really been that much pushback there. I think a large amount of the challenge comes from systemic issues that are not necessarily related to the specialty itself. So for instance, we happen to be a longer training program, and UCLA in particular is 6 years instead of the traditional five. So that poses restrictions if you're one who wanted to start a family. So there's that. And, you know, you think about things like maternity leave and how feasible or not it is for a trainee. And then I think that sometimes there can be instances where there's a bit of the old boys club when it comes to career development. So if you're not around when conversations are being had about the, you know, the new trendy research project, or if you don't have that one-on-one guidance, it can be challenging navigating things like applying for fellowship or applying for a job. I've been very fortunate that most of my mentors in my residency program have been men, and they've been incredibly supportive. I can imagine that that's not the case for every single female trainee.
And so what sorts of steps are needed to improve diversity and equity in urology?
So much. Well, I think, you know, with regards to diversity, because diversity tends to speak to a numbers game. Like when you look around the room, is there a good variety of individuals who are present? And that, I think, when if you start thinking about recruitment at the medical school level or university level, we're probably a bit too late. So early engagement of the world of urology with high school, with middle schools, with college, getting people to even know what the field is, because I did not discover what urology was till I was a third year medical student. And so, you know, being proactive about exposing our specialty to individuals, particularly when you can imagine medical schools that don't have departments represented, or just getting young folk excited about medicine quite early on. If we're talking specifically about gender, however, we've started to see a shift in medical school where at this point, I believe there are more women going to medical school than there are men. So if that's the case, it's a little troubling that within the field of urology, we still have such a low representation, but that number is rising. I believe 27% of residents this past year were women, and that's in contrast to 9.1% of practicing urologists being women. So I imagine that over the course of the next several years, our demographics will change. But numbers aside, the real big shift would be inclusion and equity. So inclusion is, you know, creating an environment where people feel as if they belong. And that's a tough call because that really requires interpersonal changes in how we interact with people, how we speak with one another, how we are considerate with one another. And those cultures tend to be something that has to be from the top down. When it comes to equity, you know, if you want to have more female trainees, it probably is a good idea to have support in place for things like maternity leave. Same is true for paternity leave, but I think especially so for women. So those are some of the things that we can start to have open conversation about and not stigmatize. There are situations where people make exceptions when the one resident gets pregnant, but creating a system where an individual has to advocate for these rights when they are in a situation stigmatizes them. If the status quo is that this is our policy, this is how it's done, so that a resident is not having to ask, you've automatically created an environment that's more inclusive. So that's my challenge for residency programs. How can you create systems where a resident is not having to push and advocate for basic human needs, and that the system has established that as a status quo?
What advice would you give a female medical student who might like to pursue urology?
It's such an incredible field. It's the hidden gem in medicine. You know, we all talk about how it's the best specialty ever, but it's the best surgical specialty for sure. And you can do it if you want to. I think that there's so many misconceptions about whether or not you can do it because of board scores, or step scores, whether or not you can do it because patients won't let you, whether or not it would be weird if you were the male doctor. And first of all, men and women have kidneys. They have bladders too. They get kidney stones. So you're not pigeonholed to a specific patient population if you became a urologist. And there's also the misconception that if you're a woman and you're a urologist, then you're only going to see women because they're all going to flock to you. And to some degree, that is true. But at the same time, I want to challenge that mindset because I think more and more we're living in a world where people are understanding that, you know, skill matters, empathy matters. And if you have that, I think you're equally going to be able to treat men and women. So don't be your own barrier is what I would say. If this is something that you even have an inkling of interest, explore it. And then if you decide you don't want to, at least you made an informed decision.
Be sure to subscribe to Speaking of Urology on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps. You can get the latest in urology news, practice management advice, and health policy updates by visiting www.urologytimes.com. Thank you for listening.